About 3 years ago, I wrote this song on Father's Day, for Father's Day, and I haven't sung it since, so I'd like to sing this one again. I remember standing there as he taught me to comb my hair, how to tie a tie and answer all my where's and why's. He taught me how to ride a bike, how to make and fly a kite. But along with all the fun, he often told me of God's son. My dad taught me how to be a man. Some things took me years to understand. He'd say, boy, someday you're gonna see. You'll find you start thinking just like me. Say thanks, thanks for loving me. He taught me how to drive a car, how to mow and trim the yard. We'd play every sport, it seemed. We were always on the same team. And every time I disobey, he taught me consequence to pay. Though I didn't like it then, I'd learn another lesson when my dad taught me how to be a man. Some things took me years to understand. Say, boy, someday you're gonna see. You'll find you start thinking just like me. I wouldn't trade those memories if I could. I always knew right where my daddy stood. If not for him, who knows where I'd be. Dad, I want to say thanks, thanks for loving me. Now I'm older and all grown, I've got a son of my own. I often think how it used to be. Hope I'm half the dad he's been to me. My dad taught me how to be a man. Some things took me years to understand. He'd say, boy, someday you're gonna see. You'll find you start thinking just like me. I wouldn't trade those memories if I could. I always knew right where my daddy stood. If not for him, who knows where I'd be. Dad, I wanna say thanks, thanks for loving me. Not for him, who knows where I'd be. Dad, I wanna say thanks. Thanks for loving me.
Dark hills, the highways and byways. He walks through the billows of life's troubled sea. He walks in the cold, dark.
Climb up our mountains so high, cross rivers and valleys. God walks the dark hills to show us the way. walks the dark hills to guide you and me.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter number 21, if you will. Revelation chapter number 21. And I want to read verses 9 through 21. Revelation 21, verses 9 through 21. The Bible says here in verse number 9, "There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like to a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Let's bow for a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege we had to be here today. Such a great blessing to hear the congregational singing. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the special music. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we've sensed here today. And for all those folks who have come out today, Lord, this is a day that you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for all those fathers represented today, as this is Father's Day, a day in which we honor this office given by God. And Lord, I pray that as we consider now these thoughts in the Word of God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Pray that the Holy Spirit might have his way in our hearts and lives today. I pray if there be any in our midst who have never trusted you as their Savior, today might be that wonderful day they would say yes to Jesus and know the wonderful thrill of salvation. And Lord, as Christians, help us, we pray, draw us near to yourself. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. What a wonderful description we have of that heavenly city, which is our eternal home. That's where we're headed. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through here. And so we have this wonderful description. The size of this city, it says it's 12,000 furlongs. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. In other words, it's a cube. It is a cube. And I'm told that 12,000 furlongs means 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. The Bible doesn't say this, but I've often wondered, will there be 1,500 levels maybe? If there are, and the Bible doesn't say that, I'm just asking a question. But if there are 1,500 levels, that's plenty of room for all of us to have a mansion and some extra space. And so there's going to be plenty of room in this celestial city. The streets are of gold. People kill for it down here, don't they? But just think about it. Up there, we're going to be kicking up gold dust. And So we have this description of all these beautiful things. The walls are of jasper, we're told, streets of gold, foundations garnished with all manner of precious stones. Evidently, God likes beautiful things. I don't know if you've ever been down to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, but if you go to the History Museum, National History Museum, because Natural History Museum, that is. If you go in that museum, there is one room dedicated to precious gems. The Hope Diamond's on display down there. And all these other precious gems. And here we find that this city, it says the foundations are encrusted with all these precious gems. And so evidently God likes beautiful things. But now, of all the gemstones mentioned here, all of them are formed from the earth except for one. And that one is the pearl. And the Bible says here in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Now, there's something different about pearls from all these others. Here's what the encyclopedia says about pearls. It says, an abnormal growth usually produced by the mantle of a bivalve mollusk, sometimes highly valued as a gem. It consists chiefly of calcium carbonate held together by organic matter arranged more or less regularly around a center, the nucleus, and resembling in structure certain layers of the shell of the mollusk in which it's been formed. Its characteristic luster is a result of the reflection of light from the tiny corrugations on the surface of the pearl. When we talk about pearls, three things I'd like to mention. The problem involved, the process involved, and then the product involved. The problem, process, and the product. When we think about the product, the problem, according to a theory dating back to the 17th century, a pearl is formed when a grain of sand that has become lodged between the shell and the mantle of the mollusk irritates the mantle, causes it to coat the invading object with layers of pearly substances. So think about this. A foreign object gets into the shell, and the mollusk, the oyster, tries its best to dispel it, tries to force it out. By the way, you know, that has an application to us. Sometimes foreign things creep into our lives too, don't they? Foreign objects, things that trouble us. We had some things trouble us today, Brother Al. Forgot his bass. Then we couldn't get this one to work. Then I had a few problems to start with. So look, problems, we're not immune to problems, are we? And we're not strangers to problems. In fact, every day that we live as Christians, you know, we face problems. What was it Job said? Man's days are short and what? Full of trouble. Yeah, they are. And so, amen here. So, yeah, things creep into our lives and they trouble us. And that's because we live in a wicked world. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with. And try as you might, you know, things creep in. And you try to dispel those things, you try to deal with those things. But in this particular case, the oyster is not able to dispel that foreign object. Things irritate us. Circumstances irritate us. People irritate us. Particularly, you get out on the expressway out there, right? And somebody cuts you off. And that's irritating, isn't it? Debts. All kinds of problems come our way, and they produce irritation. And the object here in the oyster produces suffering. Things that happen to us produce suffering. And like I said, you know, the oyster tries to dispel this object, but it can't do it. And so then the process. At some point, the oyster realizes it can't get rid of that object. And, you know, in our lives, things happen to us that we can't change a lot of times. Try as we might. Some things maybe we can, but there are a lot of things that come our way that we can't change. And so we can take a lesson from the oyster. You know what the oyster does? He begins to coat that object with this pearly substance. He can't get rid of it, and so he begins to coat it. Well, to me, that's a picture of the grace of God. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, the Apostle Paul also had a problem, didn't he? From all we can gather, it was an eye problem. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, he says here, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Such a one will I glory, yet of myself I'll not glory, but of mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or they heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Some think this was an eye disease. We don't know for sure, but that's what a lot of folks think. But he calls it here the messenger of Satan. And it buffeted him. It caused him trouble. And then he says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This thing caused the Apostle Paul trouble. And he prayed about it. He said three times, asked God to take it away. And God's answer is, no, I'm not going to take it away. But what I am going to do, I'm going to give you the grace to deal with it. And that's exactly what the oyster does. He can't dispel that foreign object. And so what he does, he begins to coat it with this pearly substance. And that, to me, is a picture of the grace of God. Then he continues to add layer upon layer until the object doesn't bother him anymore. Think about that. You know, Paul said this in Philippians 4:11. He said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Well, that's a lesson you have to learn, isn't it? Because that doesn't come naturally, does it? I mean, Paul's sitting in jail. And who wants to be in jail? But he said, I've learned something. Whatever God allows in my life, there's a reason for it. And so I'm going to accept it. And I can be content in the will of God wherever it is. That's a lesson we need to learn, isn't it? And by the way, it doesn't come naturally. We have to learn that. And the oyster learns that. He begins to coat that foreign object and to the point where it doesn't bother him anymore. And as a result, what we have here, first of all, an object of beauty, pearls. You ladies probably have maybe a pearl necklace or maybe a pearl bracelet. It may not be the real thing, but it looks like the real thing. But it's an object of beauty, isn't it? And it's also an object of value. And then it's an object of symbolism. The gates of pearl here, in verse number 21, it says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The gates picture Christ's victory, I believe, over sin, suffering, and death. The reason those gates are made out of pearl, they represent suffering. And it's because of the suffering of our Lord Jesus that we're able to enter into that heavenly city. And I think we have a beautiful picture here in the pearl. picture from nature, and one I believe that represents the grace of God. And so what a wonderful thing to be saved and to realize we're headed for this city that the Bible describes here. And because of the death, burial, resurrection, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is rising again because of that, we have the privilege to go into these gates. Gates pictured by pearls. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to his word. And let's bow for prayer. And as we pray, maybe God's spoken to your heart about a matter. And you say, Brother Bob, I'm a Christian, but there's a need in my life, and I wish you'd pray for me. If that's true today, you slip up your hand, let us pray for you. I'm a Christian, but I have a need today. I wish you'd remember me in prayer. Is there one today? Thank you. I see that hand. Someone else. I'm a Christian, but I have some needs. Please pray for me. Anyone else? Maybe you're here today and God's spoken to your heart about the matter of salvation. You've never trusted the Lord as your Savior and say, Brother Bob, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I wish you'd remember me. If that's true, you slip up your hand. Let's pray for you. Pastor?
Let's stand and take our 101 book to number 29, and we'll close with this. I'll send you on your way. Number 29. A lot of good music today, and message and song is that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He is what you need, and you need to let him in. If you haven't let him in, let him in. Number 29. If you're here today and need help to trust Christ, come forward. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as your Savior this morning. But let's sing this song as we close here this morning. Number 29, let him in. There's a stranger at the door. Let him in. He has been there. A good time listening to the good music and enjoying these great things that the Lord has provided for us. Music is such a great thing, and I enjoy it, and I appreciate what the Hitchens and Brother Al have done for us this morning. On your way out, put a love offering in the basket. We'll take care of them, get them home, take care of them as they continue on ministering for the Lord. And then we'll be back here at 6:30 tonight, evening service, song service, special hymn sing service, and then in the book of Hebrews tonight. So come on out and be here, and have a good afternoon. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers, and may God give you a good day. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had together here this morning. We hope and pray that all these things will have brought honor unto you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only one worthy of our praise and on our songs. So keep us as we go our way today. Help us to live for the Lord, shine for him. In Jesus' name, amen.